Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Good evening and welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And let's waste no time and go right out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Fox Sports 1 analyst and former NFL offensive lineman Ephraim Salaam. Ephraim, thanks so much for joining us here tonight.
Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, Ephraim, thanks for being on the show, man, and really appreciate it. Of course, there was a big game last week that we'd like to talk to you about, man.
Okay.
Of course, the Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks defeating the Denver Broncos, man.
And annihilating them.
I'm sorry, what was that?
They annihilated them.
Yeah, they definitely annihilated them. And so just wanted to get your take on the whole game there. I mean, was it anything, was it everything that you expected, or did you expect a close game in that Super Bowl?
I didn't expect the Broncos to almost be shut out. You know, I'm always under the, you know, the belief that a great offense is better than a good defense any day. But obviously I was wrong. I was pulling for the Broncos, not because I played for them before, but I just saw Peyton Manning. I thought this was his year. You know, from the beginning of the season with the 7 touchdowns on opening night, I just thought Peyton Manning, you know, would pick apart that defense. And obviously I was wrong, along with a whole bunch of other people, including Vegas. The hat goes off to Seattle and what they were able to do defensively. It was amazing.
So we have Ephraim Salaam on the double with the Double S Express. And Ephraim, one of the things was you played with the Atlanta Falcons and you were picked in the 7th round. And so with the Falcons, during your rookie season, that team went 14-2, kind of similar to what some of the Seahawks players were going through, you know, in their first year. And, you know, kind of give us an idea on what that's like, you know, being a rookie and going to the Super Bowl.
It's sort of like, you know, I was so young, I didn't know any better, you know, so I was just dumb and young. So I figured it was supposed to be like that every year. I was able to be on a team that hadn't had any success prior to me getting there. And then we just all clicked. We had a bunch of guys who came from other teams that other teams didn't want anymore. And, you know, I was a 7th round draft pick. I end up, you know, starting day one. I went to training camp and fought and won a position, starting position. And, you know, as we played, we went on the 11-game winning streak all the way up to the Super Bowl. And it was just, we just had the belief as a team that no matter what happened, we would be able to win. We ran the ball well. We had a good defense. And we all, you know, really enjoyed and liked being with each other on and off the field. And I think that's the chemistry you need to play winning football.
So would you say that after your first season of all that success, that you thought it would be fairly simple to do that again?
I thought we were going back to the Super Bowl every year. Boy, was I wrong. Oh, my goodness gracious. I didn't know any better. I didn't know any different. I remember we had a guy on our team who'd been in the league 15 years, and that was the first time he had ever come anywhere close to, you know, the Super Bowl, let alone being in it. And I just didn't understand that at the time. But I surely understand that now.
What do you remember most about that Super Bowl experience, that, you know, being the biggest game of your life? Did you realize that at the time? Did it hit you at a certain point? How did that all work out?
I'll tell you a story. I went to San Diego State University, and I remember a year prior that the Super Bowl was in San Diego, and it was Green Bay playing against the Patriots, I believe, in San Diego. And I remember looking out at the stadium and thinking to myself, I wonder if I'll ever be able to, you know, play in a Super Bowl and what it'll be like. And a year later, I'm coming out of the tunnel being announced in the starting lineup, and it was just surreal. Just 1 year prior, I was a college student, you know, with no idea if I'd ever get a chance to play in the Super Bowl. And then I actually get to do it a year later was tremendous. It was a dream come true. I couldn't even, you know, my wildest dreams imagine it happening like that.
Ephraim Salam, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. And you're reminiscing a little bit at San Diego State. I want to take you back a little bit further. Of course, you know, you're born in Chicago, Illinois, but migrated out west to Sacramento.
And Sac Town,
the 916, playing your high school ball at Florin High. Have you had the chance to get back out to Sacramento and you know, see the old stomping grounds?
I do come out to Sacramento. I was just there at the end of January, 27th. My best friend's birthday was on 27th, so I came out. But over in December, I think it was December or November, I came out and I went to Florin High School and I spoke to the basketball and football team and just kind of, you know, gave them some insight on the things it took to be successful and go to college and then, you know, get a scholarship and then move on from there. I really wanted to talk to them because I was them. You know, I was on the basketball team, I was on the football team and the track team at Florin High School, and it meant a lot for me to come back and, you know, just see where I played the majority of, you know, that's where I started playing football. That's where I started playing basketball. I didn't play before then, and just to be able to get back and just see that and see my name on the wall still, my jersey's retired there, it was awesome.
Yeah, that's great to know, Ephraim, because a lot of kids believe that they have to start at an early age. Of course, you know, it would help them to develop and mature starting at that age. But when did you know that football was the thing for you? I mean, you know, you're saying you started in high school. When did you know that that was the actual sport for you?
I remember I was in the 10th grade, and my coach came to me. He called me in the office and said, hey, I have something for you. And I went in, and I was young. At that time, I was only 14 years old. I graduated high school at 16. So as a 14-year-old sophomore in high school, I go into my coach's office, and he hands me a letter. And I was like, well, what is this? He was like, it's a letter from the University of Illinois. They're interested in you, you know, moving forward and, you know, maybe perhaps giving you a scholarship if you continue your grades and, of course, get better. And it just blew my mind. I couldn't believe that after playing football for only a year that I was receiving letters, and it kind of clicked. It was like, wow, I can really get my college paid for and I can really go on to play football at, you know, at a high level. That's when it really sunk in for me. I was 14. I remember carrying that letter in my pocket every single day for a whole year.
Ephraim Salam joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Ephraim, what is the biggest point that you could say to a high school football player that is on the cusp and might be making that next step to be able to play college football, Division I? What can he do to right that ship and make sure that he's going in the right direction?
What I tell kids all the time is, number one, believe that you can do it. Because there are going to be people in your life, it could be a parent, could be an uncle, could be a cousin, a teacher, a counselor that tells you that you don't have the ability to do that. I remember I was told by my guidance counselor at Florin, I told her I wanted to get a scholarship to play football and then go on to the NFL, and she told me, well, you should pick something else because that's impossible to do. You know, only one in a million kids. She said some crazy number. And, you know, I just simply asked her, why couldn't I be that one? Like, why can't I be that one? And she didn't have an answer. And just from that conversation, I made it a point to never let anyone tell me what I can and can't do in terms of what I wanted to do with my life. And it took hard work. It wasn't easy by any stretch of the imagination. It took hard work, a lot of sacrifice. You know, when, you know, kids were out partying, having a good time, I made sure I got, you know, my schoolwork done. I made sure I was working on my body. I made sure I was working on my sport. And, you know, it all paid off in the long run. So I always tell kids, I say, hey, man, no matter what anybody tells you, if you believe in yourself, then you could accomplish that goal.
Now, in your post-NFL days, you've moved on to do some TV analyst duties, and you're doing that currently with Fox Sports 1. What have you learned in transitioning from the game to the studio and broadcasting that maybe you didn't know when you were a player?
For me, they go hand in hand, because all the time, all the while I was playing my 13 years, I was always interested in media, so I had a radio show, a television show. What I did was I took those characteristics that I had in football, being able to work as a teammate, being able to be on time, be punctual, because in the NFL or any professional sport, if you're late, it costs you money. So I'm always on time. I'm always willing to work with the team. You know, you may not like all your teammates, but you have to work with them. You have to be able to get on the field and play with them and reach a common goal, and that's to win the game. And you take that into the workplace. You're not going to get along with everybody, you know, but just being professional and just getting your job done is, you know, that's the most important thing I took. Like, I work with somebody on Fox Sports 1. His name is Andy Roddick. You know, number one tennis player in the world, won the U.S. Open at 21. I hate the guy. You know, I'm flat out. I'm just teasing. He's in here with me right now.
Man.
I'm just teasing. I love Eddie. Eddie's a great guy. But seriously, I just, you know, you may not like everybody, but, you know, your common goal is to put on a great show or be a great teammate, and that's what I took from playing.
Efren, one of the things that you'd mentioned is the true professionalism as far as preparation is concerned. Of course, there is a big, big story going on in the NCAA, actually the NFL right now, as far as University of Missouri defensive end Michael Sam. Now, you being a former NFL player and you know, a team player in the locker room, kind of give us an idea on you know, what's going on with, you know, some of the players in the NFL and how the NFL is going to handle this moving forward.
Hopefully, it'll be okay for Michael. I think he's courageous for what he's doing. He's himself. He's not trying to be anybody else. For him to have, you know, enough fortitude and enough, you know, guts to come out and say, hey, this is who I am. I am a fantastic All-American defensive lineman, and I'm making this, you know, the next leap into the NFL. It shouldn't matter what my sexual, you know, preference is. It shouldn't matter, you know, who he dates or what he does off the field. As long as he can come to a team, get into a locker room, be a great teammate, and help a team win, I think it'll be okay. I don't think it'll be a distraction. I'm glad he did it now and not after he got to a team, because you can get all of the media buzz and all of the questions, all of the analysts, everybody can say what they need to say. By the time this young man gets drafted, he'll have the ability to just be able to go right in and work on his craft, and that is to get out there, put pressure on quarterbacks, and be the best player he can play, the best player he can be, and help his team win. And if he's able to do that, it won't matter what his sexual orientation is.
You know, those are great points. And, you know, Deion Sanders had mentioned earlier today on a tweet that, you know, Michael Sam isn't the first, but he is the first to actually come out and admit. And with that being said, Efren, do you think that will actually hurt his draft stock coming up in this year's draft?
You know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where this young man is drafted. If he gets on a team, I was a seventh-round draft pick, so I'm not a big fan of the draft anyway. It doesn't matter where he's drafted, as long as he's able to get on the team and show them that he can play at this level and he can help teams win. That's the only thing that matters. You know, I played with a player who was homosexual. He came out after he had retired, Ezra Tuoalo. He played with me in Atlanta, and he was a good friend of mine, great teammate, good player, and a good friend of mine. So, you know, it doesn't matter to me. As long as you can help your team win and you're not a distraction, which I don't think this young man will be, I think everything will be great. It should be great. And us as a society should, you know, welcome that. I mean, I want to raise my kids in a society where, you know, people aren't judging and people are welcoming and compassionate about others, because we're all different. We all have different things that we like. And, you know, not too long ago, in the grand scheme of things, African Americans, you know, weren't allowed to play and baseball and basketball and football. So let's just look at this as stepping stones. So in 20 years, my kids aren't worried about this. We're not even talking about this, because it doesn't really matter. That's the hope. And I'm glad that this young man is as starting his career like this, starting his professional career like this, because if he goes on to be one of the NFL greats, I think that's huge. I think that'd be a huge thing for what he's doing.
Yeah, definitely. I believe, Ephraim, that if you can play football, you can play football. And, you know, this young man definitely deserves the chance to do that. And you know, the words that you're saying, you know, have such clarity. And, you know, I just think that we all should just take a deep breath, you know, for those who actually might see it as a negative, you know, to just take a deep breath. And you know, I think that this young man will have an excellent.
Yeah, if they see it as a negative, they need to grow up.
Yeah, you know, I think that he will have an excellent NFL career just as long as we can get past this judgmental stage that's going on.
We will.
Hey, Efren, I have one more question. You had mentioned earlier as far as your teacher who had, you know, you walked in and talked with your teacher and they doubted you as far as, you know, what you wanted to do in your NFL career. That sounds very familiar to Aaron Rodgers when Aaron Rodgers' story was very similar to that. His counselor had told him that, you know, he probably should think of another occupation at 5'9" at the time. Have you had the chance to actually go back and have a conversation with that teacher?
No, I don't know where they are. I just it's my job to spread the message that you don't let people take you away from your dreams, you know. You should live the life of a dream. Every day I'm dreaming. If you would have told me 10 years ago, even when I was playing football, that an offensive lineman would come off and be on national television 5 days a week talking about all sports, just not football, it wasn't even possible for that to happen. You know, so my whole life, I live by that motto, life of a dreamer.
Ephraim Salaam, thanks so much for your time tonight. Now you've got to get to your TV duties with Fox Sports 1. We appreciate your insight and your time. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope to have you on in the near future.
Definitely. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
There goes Ephraim Salaam, San Diego State University, on to the NFL with multiple teams, including the team he was drafted by, the Atlanta Falcons. Goodness, a lot of insight there and some great things he had to say about the current situation going on today in the college and NFL ranks.
Man, you know, I enjoyed having Ephraim on, and, you know, he told it like it was, man. And I mean, this is, we're in a day and age that, you know, there are all types of situations that, you know, that come about that we want to shock the world with. But when it all boils down to it, it's all about playing football. And you have to look at, you know, at the University of Missouri, they knew about this for a while, and, you know, they were fine with it. The team rallied around Michael Sam, and, you know, I just brought the question up just to hear from an NFL player's perspective, not to, you know, not to get that shock value or anything, but just get an NFL player's perspective, and it was a breath of fresh air to hear what Ephraim had to say.
Oh, absolutely, and it was great to hear that he said, you know, so what? Who cares? As long as he, you know, keeps it all football in the locker room and on the field, no one's going to care. And it's the same as if, you know, anybody at their day job, if you keep whatever relationship you want to have outside of work, that's fine. But once you're at work, you punch the time clock, you do what you're supposed to do, no one's going to care.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, with the draft coming up, I believe that he'll stand pat. I think this will roll over. And, you know, he'll be where he wants to be. But just like Ephraim said that, hey, he was drafted in the seventh round. You know, draft doesn't mean anything. And there's a lot of players like that. You know, for one, you know, the Seattle Seahawks, the MVP of the Super Bowl, I believe was a fifth round pick.
That is definitely correct. And when we come back after the break, we'll have big time guest number two here on the Double with the Double S Express. You don't want to miss that on the Double, delivered by Papa John's Tri-Cities.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger.
Andro 400 is the natural, safe, and effective way to lose weight, gain energy, increase testosterone, and feel young again. Too good to be true? Then listen to what Bob and Jim have to say.
And in 30 days, I lost approximately 10 pounds. After another 30 days, I lost another 8 pounds, so a total of 18 pounds lost in 60 days. My libido has been increased 100-fold, and I feel like a teenager again.
I've been taking Nandro 400 for about a year now. I've lost a little over 30 pounds. I have more energy. The biggest thing is just feeling better about myself, a lot more confident.
Guys, it's time to discover what Andro 400 can do for you. Call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435 or go to andro400.com.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Show's going good so far. Big time guest number one, Ephraim Salaam, joined us, former NFL offensive lineman, now with Fox Sports 1.
Yeah, it was good to have Ephraim on the show and, you know, taking his time out. I know he had to run real quick and air on Fox Sports 1. That was, you know, that was funny how he was mentioning Andy Roddick and how, you know, you have to coincide. And I know that he was just kidding and everything. I was thinking, Sean, that he would probably have a tougher time with the glove Gary Payton than Andy Roddick.
Yeah, no kidding. That would be a definite ridiculous matchup there. And you know, Mr. Salaam had some great points on how to get from the high school level to the college ranks and even going from college to the NFL. And, you know, he mentioned that he was brought in to the Atlanta Falcons, drafted in the 7th round, and boom, they were in the Super Bowl first year. And he thought that was going to be the norm. Well, that was the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, you know, it kind of sounded like Ephraim he sounded like a fan, you know, because when your team actually starts winning, you think it's going to be like that all the time. And, you know, not to say that it was fool's gold, because that team was a great team. You're looking at Chris Chandler at the quarterback, and you know, you had Anderson at the running back, and you know, those dirty birds at the time. And so it did seem like they were going to win for quite some time, but it just doesn't happen that way in the NFL. And you know, as a player, it was good to hear that he felt that way as a player, because as fans, we believe that all the time.
So, yeah, I mean, you think back to the last dynasty. Would you consider the Patriots in the early 2000s the last dynasty, or would we go all the way back to the Cowboys in the early 90s?
You know, as far as a dynasty is concerned, you know, winning Super Bowls in succession, I would say, yeah, the Cowboys would probably be right there. New England Patriots, you know, made their run, but they wound up with 2 championships out of that. But, you know, it's been a long time since there's actually been a so-called dynasty in the NFL.
And it's so hard in this era of free agency with the new collective bargaining agreement and rules different than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago to even compare. And that's one of the biggest Dallas Cowboy fans and listeners here of On the Double, Ricky Heisen out of Pasco, Washington, likes to say is you can't compare different eras because the game is so different. Look at all the rules on the defensive side of the ball that are completely different now than they were 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, you know, and you're mentioning those rule changes, but it's amazing, you know, on the offensive side also, as well. The NFL tries to make it an offensive game, but as much as the NFL tries to make it an offensive game, the defense prevails. And, you know, I know that, you know, this past Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks, they figured it out as far as defense actually, and we've said it, defense wins championships, but, you know, when you can perfect that, you know, you have a chance of winning for quite some time.
And I thought that was interesting that Ephraim Salaam said he thought a good offense beats a good defense. Do you think that was more of because he was on the offensive side of the ball and that's where he had his tendencies to lie and he was a little bit biased there? Because everybody does tend to say defense wins championships.
Well, the proof is in the pudding. And the defense, you know, the team with the better defense the past, I believe, 6 out of the last 7 Super Bowls has wound up winning. Offense is exciting. And when an offense is generating and running well, it's great to watch. And I believe one of the last great offenses that we've seen was the greatest show on turf with the St. Louis Rams. But more so year in and year out, you see the teams that beef up on their defense and put more emphasis on that winning the championships.
And definitely when you had the number one offense, not just in 2013, but the number one offense of all time in the 2013 Denver Broncos going into New York, New Jersey. So many people thought they were going to win. So many people bet on them in Vegas. And guess what? They ran into a number one defense, not only of 2013, but possibly the last 10 years going back, you know, 10, 12 years to the Baltimore Ravens that – you know, they run into a buzzsaw, and look what happened.
Yeah, you know, I look forward to this year's draft and the offseason, and with some of the moves that are going to be made with a lot of the general managers and owners, to see if a lot of the teams start to, you know, pattern their selves around, you know, these top defensive teams. Let's face it, Seattle had everything going and clicking on all cylinders. And, you know, we can't leave out the San Francisco 49ers for what they've done. And, you know, there are some teams that are actually trying to do that. And more so in the NFC West, which I believe is the reason why the NFC has the upper hand on the AFC right now.
Well, you talk about the San Francisco 49ers, and you've got guys like Richard Sherman stating that the 49ers were the second best team in the NFL, not the Denver Broncos. So just goes to show you that, you know, just because there's an AFC and an NFC, the best two teams in the entire NFL are not always in the championship game.
And, yeah, I have to agree with Richard on that one because, you know, it seemed like the NFC had it down pat as far as the blueprint. And, you know, again, I look forward to seeing what's going to happen in the future with the AFC. Will the Denver Broncos in the offseason actually start to beef up their defense a little bit? Because they were, let's face it, they were playing three-card Monty with their defense. They had a lot of injuries, of course. But at the same time, they didn't have nearly the defense that any of the NFC teams had.
Now, Sean, of course, the NFL purists will throw tomatoes and rotten eggs and rotten apples at me for even saying this. But do you think at some point there should be some kind of almost like an NCAA football championship to where there's some kind of tournament where the best 6, 8, 10 teams play that the NFL should think about figuring out a way to go to that and not so much AFC versus NFC? Because look at this year when arguably San Francisco was the second best team over Denver.
Well, yeah, you saw how long it took for the NCAA to actually come up with a playoff schedule. Of course, this year being the last year of the BCS. But as far as the NFL is concerned, I just don't see them going into that type of a playoff where it's just the top six teams, whether it's the AFC or NFC. Main reason, money. You know, that when you separate two conferences and you have them battling it out for supremacy to play the other conference, that generates a lot of revenue. And the NFL has done this for quite some time, and they know how to, you know, make money and generate that revenue. And so I don't see that happening. As a matter of fact, they're talking about adding one more team to each conference, you know, to have, you know, two teams having a bye going into the playoffs coming up in the next couple of years. So, yeah, I don't see them going to that 6-team round robin style playoff that you're talking about.
So after the first fairly successful cold weather Super Bowl, what are your thoughts on having it in cold weather cities? Obviously, it's not as nice of a warm weather destination in the winter, but all in all, they seem to have a pretty good time in New York and northern New Jersey.
You know, in the beginning, Sean, I didn't think that it was a good idea, and I was one of the ones that was thinking, man, why in the world would you have the Super Bowl in a cold climate area? But, truth be told, I believe that the city of New York and the NFL actually pulled this one off, and it was actually a better grand spectacle than I would have thought. And what makes it even better, Sean, is I'm watching the Sochi Olympics in Russia, and hearing all of the just crazy stories that are going on as far as preparation is concerned, as far as the housing and the room and board not being up to snuff, and having to do last minute things to kick off the Olympics, I would say that New York and New Jersey did an excellent job in preparation for the Super Bowl. And I can't say that it went off without a hitch, but actually watching the Super Bowl, actually seeing MetLife, that was my first time actually taking a look at MetLife Stadium. I thought that it was a great, great place and an awesome looking stadium.
Let's head back on out to the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number two tonight, and that is Robert Lytle of BlackSportsOnline.com. Robert, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, no, I appreciate you. Let me apologize for last week. I was stuck in the airport. I heard you guys talking about the Super Bowl. I was stuck in the airport for 13 hours last Monday, but I'm glad to be home.
Well, speaking of, and we had our earlier guest on, Ephraim Salam, former Atlanta Falcons, and, of course, he played with the Denver Broncos as well. He gave his take on the Super Bowl, and, we're just talking about, the Super Bowl going off without a hitch. What did you think of this year's Super Bowl, outside of the fact that it was just a travesty and a blowout as far as the two teams were concerned?
Well, it was unique. I guess that's the word I would use, having it in New York, for the first time. Not necessarily just the weather factor, but, just that city is a unique city. And then, having it out, their actual stadium is, in New Jersey and everything. I thought it made for a unique experience. They ended up with a bit of a dud of a game. One thing that I did notice just being at the stadium was that it seems like there was more hardcore fans there than the normal corporate style Super Bowl that we see a lot of times. I don't know if that had something to do with just the fact that maybe a lot of the corporate people didn't want to sit out in the cold. A unique experience. I see a lot of other cities, the cold weather cities, now kind of throwing their hat into the ring. I don't know if that's a good thing. I think you New York is kind of set up a way that was made for this. I don't know if a D.C. or Philadelphia would necessarily be a great, or Chicago be a great place for a Super Bowl. But I had a good time.
And so you just mentioned that you were there at the Super Bowl. Of course, BlackSportsOnline.com is where you can catch Robert. Is it Littell or Lytle?
Littell.
Littell, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And so you can catch BlackSportsOnline.com and all the greatest in, of athletes and owners and players around. Now, of course, you have a show Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern time, you and Stiletto Jill. Now, I've had a chance to take a look at that show on YouTube. An excellent show. So how did that come about?
Well, it was one of those type of things where me and Jill, we had done separate TV and, web appearances on other shows and everything. And we were finding it, kind of difficult to get, something a little more consistent. So, we kind of put our heads together and say, hey, if, we can't find that consistent outlet, we'll make our own, outlet to where we can talk about, the things that we want to talk about, each week. And it was our decision to not make it too long. We think one of the problems a lot of times, especially with independent media, sometimes they can have these web shows and they go on for hours and hours, and people have a very short attention span. So, that's how we kind of came up with the Break Room. It's a break in your day, a quick break to get kind of caught up with some of the biggest stories and get it outside of just reading it on the blogs or on the website, where you can actually hear some faces and see our faces, hear our voices and everything, and we can really give a little bit deeper inside to the articles that, you know, everybody's talking about.
You know, Robert, you know, those are great points that you mentioned. And, of course, you know, picking 2 p.m. Eastern time, and, of course, it's 11 a.m. on the West Coast. You know, what was the thought process on picking that time of the day? I mean, because, of course, you mentioned it's the break room and, you know, people are at work at that time. Were you expected to get such a big audience as you've gotten?
Well, I mean, we hoped. I mean, we did some research. And, you know, part of that research said that, you know, people that are on social media is the most is, you know, when there's not like a big sporting event or a big, you know, award show or stuff like that, is midday. And so we wanted to pick a time that was good for basically all time zones, you know, East, you know, Pacific, Mountain, Central, where I'm at, and what we came up with that kind of spanned that, you know, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. pocket where a lot of people are online, you know, was basically the 2 p.m., you know, Eastern time. And it seems to work out because if it's one thing that people do when they do what they can sneak on at work is YouTube is normally the one type of thing that people can't sneak on and watch at work, or you can watch on your phone or your tablet or everything. So it's very universal in that, and we get a good daytime audience. It's almost like a soap opera audience. That's what I call it, you know, like watching The Young and the Restless or watching Oprah or something like that. In the middle of their day, when everyone is up and talking, you know, they seem to like to come to our show, and the replays are very strong throughout the day and then the next day on. And so we've had a lot of fun doing it. We think it's getting better each week. We have a packed show tomorrow, so we can't wait, you know, for that. And I think it gives an opportunity not just to show, you know, our fans and our readers, you know, a side of us that maybe they didn't know about, but also to show the, you know, those major networks and other people that, hey, you know, just because you blog or just because you write for a website, it doesn't mean that you don't have the personality and the talent to do things on air.
Robert Littell joining us here on The Double with the Double S Express, the creator and founder of BlackSportsOnline.com. And Robert, throughout your days back at The Ohio State University and after that now with your current venture, what are some of your fondest memories of stories that you've been able to write, games or events you've been able to cover in that time?
Well, you know, it's been a while, you know, since I've been at, like you said, The Ohio State University, and I've seen and done a lot of things, very blessed, you know, to do a lot of different things in that time frame. You know, going even back to my younger years, you know, when I was at Ohio State, you know, I had the opportunity to watch players like Eddie George and Orlando Pace and like that. So those, Jimmy Jackson, you know, for the basketball team. So those early years at Ohio State, which kind of introduced me to the world of journalism at a high level, high sports level, are always, you know, great memories for me. I always speak fondly of the university, which I consider like family. You know, once I got into doing, you know, what we're doing now, you know, with Black Sports Online, it's so many memories. I think the one story that really kind of sticks out as a turning point for me, and I guess a turning point in how a lot of people perceive the site, was the actual, you know, the murder of Steve McNair. I think it was something that, you know, that we actually had first, you know, that we had information about that that he may have passed away, that it was foul play involved, and we went with it, and we did editorials on that, and we got a lot of mainstream attention for that. It really kind of showed me, you know, the type of power that a online source, you know, can actually have. And throughout the years, you know, we've tried to take these stories, you know, going all the way up to back then until, you know, the things with Marcus Smart, even, you know, today, and try to give them a little bit of different perspective. You know, as far as live events, I'm a big boxing guy. A lot of people know that. To see boxing matches like, you know, when Manny Pacquiao fought Ricky Hatton, those type of atmospheres, to be at games at like Madison Square Garden, or, you know, seeing the Miami Heat, you know, in the NBA Finals, things like that have always been, you know, they become little flashpoints throughout your career, and you realize how lucky and blessed you are to be able to have the opportunity to do these things. So, you know, each article is special to me in some way. You know, each event that I go to is special. You know, I can always, you know, go back, you know, 20, 30 years from now if I'm talking to my grandchildren, if, you know, and I can say, hey, I, you know, if they have another Super Bowl or whatever in New York, I can say, hey, I was there. I was there live, you know, when Peyton Manning choked up again. So, you know, those type of things I think are priceless, and, you know, you really can't put a, you know, a price on.
Robert, what is the key when you look back, when you launched Black Sports Online, to where you're at today with over 50,000 followers on Twitter, with just immense success with the website? What is the key from day one to getting where you're at now?
Well, I took a risk. I mean, I took a risk, you know, and it's, a lot of people ask me, you know, that question, you know, or the question of why, you know, we call the site, you know, Black Sports Online, and when I was much younger and I was doing this, and it was something where I felt very strongly about that there was a lack of minority writers, especially in the online media world. And this was before, you know, social media and everything kind of, and the blogs and everything took off. And I wanted something a little bit different. I wanted to be bold. I wanted to have my name and face, you know, out there to the public. I didn't want to hide, you know, behind my website name. I wanted not necessarily to separate, which is what a lot of people have a misconception of. It wasn't about separating black and white. It was just by saying, you know, hey, you know, blacks and other minorities and women, you know, we deserve an opportunity. We can do this as well as anyone else. And I'm going to show you that I'm going to be able to do it. And I'm going to put it right out there in your face and in your name. And it was a risk because, you know, that could scare a lot of people. And you can maybe, you know, it could be off-putting to some people, and advertisers and other networks and companies, you know, may be scared to deal with something that maybe to them is one-sided. So, you know, I took that risk head on, and I knew from the beginning either it was going to, you know, fail spectacularly, or, you know, if we did it the proper way, the way that I had envisioned, that we were going to carve out, you know, a niche market, and we were going to do things that have never been done, you know, before. And, you know, I couldn't imagine back when I started, you know, how technology and things of that nature was going to, you know, change the way reporting is done. But the centralized focus has always been, you know, giving those opportunities, breaking down some of those doors so the people behind me, you know, wouldn't have to do that. They wouldn't have to worry about, you know, being credentialed, you know, people worried about them being credentialed because they're an African-American, you know, blogger, female blogger. That we've been an unbiased source, unique source, a different source, not afraid to take risks, that have put up in our cover last 2013, you know, live of, you know, staff, you know, now 15 different writers, and they all go out and work. So, you know, we're not just shot writing, you know, of course we do our, you know, our share, you know, scandalous type of stories or sports and things. So we, you know, talk site. Now I'm willing to put myself and my staff, you know, against anyone in any level, you know, be it blogging, be it mainstream, and I think we measure up well.
Robert Littell, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. You know, you had mentioned taking, you know, with blacksportsonline.com, just taking it head on. And, you know, just reading some of the articles that you have on your online, there's still, it's hard to find, you know, the black or the white. There's still stories is what I'm getting at. And so, you know, even though there are African-American players on there and athletes, it's still a tasteful website that you can get great stories from. And I appreciate that.
Never about, well, let's just write about black athletes, or let's just protect black athletes, or let's just talk about, you know, the African-American aspect of athletics and sports. It never was about that. You know, that part, you know, a lot of people, you know, get messed up. The way I always try to explain it to people, the easiest way that I can break it down is if you're a white guy, you know, in Oklahoma, and you want to watch the BET Awards, you know, because you like Kendrick Lamar. You know, nothing is stopping you from watching, you know, BET. You know, nothing is stopping you. You know, I like to watch Bravo. They have some shows on there. You know, that doesn't mean that I'm gay or anything. I just like the shows that are on Bravo. And that's the way that we always like to present black sports online. It's not just, you know, for black people. It's for entertaining, you know, thing. But it just is coming from a different perspective. Maybe even a perspective that if you are not black and you read some of this stuff, that it opens up your eyes to a different way of thinking about things. You know, I never pretend to be, to know everything. So when, you know, something like, you know, what's happening, you know, now, you know, with the guy from Missouri, Sam, and, you know, coming out and saying that he, you know, is gay and he's proud about all that, you know, I'm not gay. So what I do is I go read stuff from OutSports. So I go read, you know, things from other, you know, gay athletes to see what they say. So I can understand and learn, you know, about, you know, their perspective or how they feel about certain things. And I think that's good for all of us. You know, I read everything. You know, it doesn't matter if it's ESPN or Nicole Bitchy. You know, it's just, you know, if I find it interesting, you know, I'm going to read it. And I, you know, I feel like I can learn from that. And my goal was never to separate, you know, people, or to never be militant or anything like that, or to just do a particular type of story. My overall goal was always to be, let's open some doors up. Let's open some eyes up. Let's open some ears up. Let's see things from a different way. And then if you don't understand, you know, why an athlete maybe does something the way that you just don't, you know, get because of your upbringing or something like that, maybe we can help you, you know, along with that. So it was actually about inclusion, you know, not about exclusion. It's actually about, inclusion. And part of that, it's been tough, but over the years, you know, by not hiding, by being out there, by, you know, people like you allowing me to come on your shows and explain, and I think in general, you know, the people, you know, who do read our site and listen to these interviews and watch my shows and have studied, you know, my career, can see that, you know, it's always been a positive thing. It's all about, you know, pushing positive and putting positive people out there and trying to be fair to the athletes, no matter if it's, they're black, white, or foreign, or whatever it is. We try to be as fair as possible.
Robert Littell, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. You can follow Robert website at blacksportsonline.com, or you can catch The Break Room Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, along with Stiletto Jill on YouTube. Hey, Robert, thanks for being on the show. Man, we really appreciate you coming on and shedding a light on blacksportsonline.com.
Well, you know, I thank you guys. I mean, I really mean that, you know, the opportunities that people like yourself and others have given us, you know, over the years is one of the reasons why, you know, we have been a success and hopefully will continue to be a success in the future. So I definitely appreciate it.
Well, yeah, well, you're definitely a success. You know, my son, you know, we have lots of guests on the show, and my son up in Seattle, Washington calls me and he says, "Dad, you're having Robert Littell on the show. Man, this guy is awesome. He's dynamic. He does this, he does that." I mean, so you're definitely making an impact in the community and around the world. So appreciate you for being on the show.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great night.
And Robert, you're definitely setting the record book here. The second guest from the Eastern time zone. Thanks so much for staying up late.
Oh, no, thank you.
Robert Littell with us on the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines. Thanks so much for joining us. And phenomenal guest tonight there. Guest number two on the show, Robert Littell of BlackSportsOnline.com. Sean Boyd.
Man, you know, he has so many great articles that, you know, and again, I encourage our listeners to go on blacksportsonline.com and see some of the articles, you know, just a different perspective on what goes on in the everyday sports realm. And so, it, you know, it's just a breath of fresh air. You know, he talked a little bit about Michael Sam. Of course, you know, there's the whole Marcus Smart issue with the the basketball player from Oklahoma State. You know, great article there on Coach Tom Izzo's perspective on why things went down. And so I thought that was quite interesting to have, you know, Michigan State coach coming in and giving his spin. So, you know, a lot of great articles and definitely a great guest in Robert Littell.
Oh, absolutely. And he's got a lot of insight on everything he's covered going back to, you know, his high school days, his days at The Ohio State University, and now to his current ventures with Black Sports Online and his YouTube channel that, you know, was getting a lot of views. And he's at the Super Bowl. I mean, those are things that, you know, one day we hope to be doing. I mean, of course, we freelance for the networks and have worked, you know, NFC Championship games and other playoff games and all kinds of sports, and it's just another stepping stone. And Robert has found a way to keep that wheel turning and doing great things.
Yeah, and again, I encourage our listeners to check out The Break Room as well, because that is it's a hilarious sports take on what goes on in everyday sports. And the way he and Stiletto Jill go back and forth and their banter, you know, it reminds me a lot of you and I, Sean, on how we're getting things started and making things roll. And of course we have, you know, our producer and marketing director and Alicia Flores, you know, coming on and doing some great things. And so, you know, looking at Robert gives us some great hope, man. Things are definitely looking up for all of us.
Oh, absolutely. And it just gives us an idea of that it's been done before. We can follow in their footsteps and deliver great things from our big-time guests. And we'll be back to talk more sports and wrap up the show after this. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express, delivered by Papa John's Tri-Cities. This is awesome.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. It took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally, episode, or shall I say show, number 39, almost in the books, my friend. Great time, big time guest tonight, Ephraim Salaam, former Atlanta Falcons and current Fox Sports 1 analyst as our first guest. And then guest number two, Robert Littell of BlackSportsOnline.com. Sean Wally, it's been an interesting show, my friend.
Yes, it definitely has. And, you know, great guests on tonight. And big thank you to producer Alicia getting things squared away, lining up these big-time guests. And hopefully we knock them out of the park and want to have them back in the future, and hopefully they had a good time and want to come back and tell their story and share what's going on in their life currently and what they've been through. And, you know, it's just a good thing to have so many different opinions and so many different perspectives here on The Double.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Alicia, and so the awesome job that she does with setting up the interviews. And one of the things I wanted to talk with Robert about that I didn't get a chance to for you, Alicia, was talk about the boxing realm. And you know, Robert mentions that that's, you know, his in and that is his love. You know, he talked about a little bit about Manny Pacquiao. I wanted to talk to him, you know, about Money May and some of the other, you know, boxers. But we'll definitely get to that. And maybe that's an area that we can start to get some more boxers on the show. But definitely great, great guest number two, Robert Littell from BlackSportsOnline.com.
Oh, man, between Robert and previous big-time guest from 710 ESPN Seattle is Bob Stelton. They're huge boxing fans. And, you know, with my connection recently working ESPN Friday Night Fights, I mean, we definitely could have gone there, and that's something we could do on a future show for sure.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's, you know, that's an area that we haven't really talked about too much. I know that we've had a guest on from MMA or Ultimate Fighting, and so, you know, we want to definitely span and or expand and get out there and talk a little bit about some more sports. So boxing is one of them that I want to talk about.
Well, we've definitely got a little bit of room for expanding into other sports now that the NFL is done and the draft is until May now, which is a bit of a change. And, you know, yes, you have college basketball going on and March Madness here coming up in the next month and a half, which will be amazing as always. And then outside of that, I mean, baseball doesn't get going until basically April. Of course, you've got spring training here in the next few weeks, and, you know, that's a little bit exciting, especially if you're in Arizona or Florida. But outside of that, nothing serious until April. So there's definitely room to talk boxing and maybe some Olympics and go from there.
Yeah. Speaking of the Olympics, and, you know, there's some great things going on, you know, with the, you know, with the downhill slalom. I believe that was today. We had a young lady, Jamie Anderson from Lake Tahoe. I believe she won the snowboarding competition. I believe it was the snowboard freestyle. And so that was great for Northern California to actually get on the map with a gold. And so I am impressed with, you know, with the athletes that are participating in the Olympics. I know that we had talked a little bit about, or I had talked a little bit about the lack of preparation that Russia has put into this. But, you know, it's good to see the athletes, and it's always good, Sean Wally, to see the United States compete. And, you know, no matter what the sport is, I mean, when you're watching, you're hoping that your country actually pulls out a victory.
Absolutely. You know, that would definitely make it a little more worthwhile. Of course, you want to see great competition. And if your participant from your country gets second or third or maybe fifth, you know, they tried their best and it just wasn't their day. But you still saw great action by athletes from around the world. And hopefully they do their country proud.
Yeah, that's the only sports that, you know, brings everybody together. I mean, I'm looking at certain events that I know nothing about, but just because that person is donning the United States jersey or has the United States flag on, I'm rooting like nobody's business. And those are fun times because, I mean, you sit around as a family and you watch these things and, you know, you're screaming and hollering and you don't know what you're screaming and hollering about, but fun times.
So, Sean, what are your favorite events in the Winter Olympics if you were to actually have time to watch? I know personally I like the bobsled, the ski jump, some of the downhill where they're going 70, 80 miles an hour. I know I saw Bodie Miller the other day going about 80 miles an hour, just ridiculous speed.
Yeah, you know, mentioning Bodie Miller, I mean, he had to, you know, had a chance to you know, take that downhill by storm. You know, the first half of the race, it looked like, I mean, I think he was ahead by 0.3 seconds, but all it takes is just one little tweak, and he went outside the zone a little bit and got himself back in, but, you know, wound up finishing ninth in that event, and, you know, Bodie has a couple more chances to come out and get a gold, but, you know, again, there's one event that, you know, if you know nothing about it, you know Bodie Miller. For me, I like the bobsled, whether it's the one man or the three man or four person, whichever one they have. I love watching the bobsled. I love watching hockey during the Olympics, not during the NHL, but during the Olympics. I love watching hockey. And believe it or not, you know, that curling is, you know, pretty interesting to me as well.
So how are you with the broom, Sean Boyd?
Well, you know, I'm not as good as those guys in curling, man. And if I was, then, you know, my house would be super spotless. But, man, yeah, can you imagine pushing a broom back and forth like that? What you would think that these guys have humongous biceps and triceps as much as they're just scratching that broom up and down the ice, you know, trying to get it into the circle. But, man, there's a lot of hype in that, you know, even though it seems simple and watching it, but you know, the setter, the one that just, you know, sets the curler down and, you know, all that broom sweeping, you know, it makes for, you know, heightened suspense.
You know, way too much about curling if you're going to say it's suspenseful. Holy smokes. Holysmokenuts.com.
Well, yeah, well, hey, it's just like watching marbles. That's the way I see it. I mean, you know, if you played marbles when you're little, now I'm telling on my age, but if you play marbles when you're little, you know, it's just a bunch of grown-ups, you know, playing marbles on a bigger scale.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I'm Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express, and what a great show we've had for you. Two big-time guests tonight, as we had Ephraim Salaam of Fox Sports 1, football analyst and former NFL offensive lineman. And our big-time guest number two tonight was Robert Lytle of BlackSportsOnline.com.
Yeah, so two awesome guests. Another great show in the book, Sean Wally. Man, I love this time, this part of the year. You know, of course, as you're saying, making the transition from the NFL now to the NBA, getting a chance to watch the Olympics. Man, it's a great time of the year. And, of course, baseball right around the corner. We'll be talking about all of those things. Show number 39 in the book, Sean Wally. For Sean Wally, Don Newsom. For Alicia Flores, I'm Sean Boyd. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double, the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double, the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world. You can beat the war. Talk to God, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up. You can beat the...